You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight. This is GOAT Madness.
I am the greatest.
Jordan to the circle, puts the shot in the air. Good! The game's over, and the Bulls have won.
Who is the GOAT?
We know!
Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
It's time for you to determine who's the greatest of all time, once and for all.
This one is headed for New Jersey. High into the upper deck. Barry Bonds with a spectacular three-run homer.
Because that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Simpson.
This is GOAT Madness.
We've been working at this, Gordon, for about a month.
Yeah.
Through all the conversations and picking up polls and everything, and getting names and stuff like this. And now, this week, Wednesday night, we will define a champion. We're whittling it down, Gordon. We, I guess we are Elite Eighting this time.
Yeah, Elite Eight. We are down to the final eight names. So this is I guess, regional final level. Yes. But yes, the Elite Eight. And by now, you know the names.
Mm-hmm.
You know the games.
Mm-hmm.
And we start with the number one region, with the number one overall seed, who, of course, is...
Gretzky on the move, and he'll take the pass. On the line. Gretzky coming at the net. Shooting! Scores! My goodness. The way this second period has turned out. Goal scoring. Don't leave us. Not for a second. Gretzky gets his third.
All right, of course, that's Wayne Gretzky. He'll go up against the man who is everything brackets, who is...
Bull's ass!
Wow. And that is, of course, Don LaGreca.
Wow.
I don't think Don would want to upset the great one.
Wow.
But that's not up to Don. It's up to the listeners.
Wow.
So that's one regional. These regions, how you decide these, I don't know how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. The second one...
Brady, number one, open. Randy Moss, touchdown.
Yes, that would be Tom Brady.
Mm.
And he will go up against the number 15, who's still hanging around, Larry. The 15 seed is...
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the
Never
stars.
Thought that the 15 would do... Wow. Look, I love Frank Sinatra. Who doesn't?
Yes.
But I didn't think that he would be around in the Elite Eight.
Wow.
He hasn't been around for a while now, but he's still around in this tournament.
Yeah. Boy, that's crazy.
Then our third region, Larry. This one, it's the one versus the two. And how you go about solving this one, I don't know.
You want money? How about my 40 grand? You're still out of the bird feeder. That should be plenty. You're such an investment genius.
Yes, that, of course. Do we need any introduction there?
So, no.
The number one seed who is everything. The listeners still... Love Tony him. Soprano.
Yep.
He'll go up against the number two, who is...
Zellers has Jordan. Jordan with 2 seconds to go. Puts it up and scores at the buzzer. Michael Jordan has won it for Chicago.
Yes, Michael Jordan, the number two seed. How can you pick between Tony Soprano and Michael Jordan?
I don't know, but you got to.
You got to. And then finally, once you get done deciding between those two, then you got to decide between the final region. The number four seed is...
Oh, yeah. Three solid shots for Tiger Woods at the par 4 11th, and the patrons are on their feet.
Hmm.
Yes, Tiger Woods, and he goes up against the number two, who is...
I'm so mean, I make medicine sick.
Bad dude.
Bad. Fast. Last night, I cut the light off in my bedroom, hit the switch, was in the bed before the room was dark.
Incredible.
Fast.
Incredible.
And you, George Fullman, all of you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
Ah, and that, of course, the great... Muhammad Ali. So those are your four matchups for tonight. Wayne Gretzky versus Don LaGreca. Tom Brady takes on Frank Sinatra. Tony Soprano against Michael Jordan. And Tiger Woods takes on Muhammad Ali. Larry, voting is now open.
Wow. At Gordon Damer, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPN NY, 98.7 FM. Gordon, I'm telling you, this is, I mean, this has turned out, I think, better than we thought it was going to. Just the conversation and the way the brackets have lined up.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy the matchups you have. It's just unbelievable. LaGreca's still hanging around.
Yeah, well, I think that I think we've gotten a good mix. Like, you don't want it to just be chalk the entire time.
Yes,
we're all four number one seeds. So you have a 15 in there. You got a four in there. You got a six in there.
Yep.
A little bit of everything. And certainly it's more competitive than the national title game is.
Especially right now.
Exactly.
You know, but, I mean, you talk about LaGreca. He blew away Madonna, and he hasn't been stopped since.
He hasn't been stopped since. You knew people were in trouble when Don took care of Madonna the way he did.
I mean, he wiped her out.
Wiped her out. And she does not get wiped out very often.
No,
she's got a lot of energy, that one.
Yes, she does. She's Madonna.
Exactly.
You know, and as you mentioned, the 15th seed, Frank Sinatra, 15th. Think about this. You're talking about the greatest of all time, and Frank Sinatra was a 15th seed.
Right. They always say this when it's Oscar time or Grammy time. It's an honor to be nominated.
Mm-hmm.
To get into this group of 64 names, it truly was an incredible achievement just to be part of the field. There's plenty of great names that we left out of the field.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've gotten it pretty close.
We have a pretty representative group of jobs. See, that's the thing.
We didn't want it just sports. Right. We wanted a little music. We wanted a little TV.
Yeah.
Little here, little there. And I think we've gotten it. But now it's up to the listeners. It's up to the voters. And you just hope that they don't screw it up.
I mean, Gordon, just think of the people who are not here. Jay-Z's out.
Jay-Z's gone. Yeah, he was the only number one seed who has been eliminated so far. We have three number one seeds in the Elite Eight. Now, I don't know that all of them are going to survive this round, but Jay-Z's gone.
Michael Jackson's gone.
Michael Jackson was gone very
Prince
quickly.
Prince is gone.
Prince was gone. Richard Pryor didn't even make it out of the first round, which shocked me. There was a lot of ones that, but look, at the end of the day, you create the thing and then you give it off to the audience and hope that the audience does it. I think the audience has done pretty well.
They've
I just hope they don't screw it up at this point.
They've done a good job. They've done
because I will call them out if they screw it up. They screwed it up with the Facebook memories that come up.
Yes, yes.
And it was 3 years ago we did the theme songs.
Yes.
And look, the audience screwed that up. The Sopranos is not the greatest TV theme song of all time. I've not let it go.
No.
So it's up to the audience to do right by us. So hopefully they do.
Which makes me wonder what happens this year. You know what I mean. I'm not saying nothing because I don't want to affect the voting.
In what way? What do you mean?
You know, well, there's a member of that show still around.
There is a member of that show still around. Yep.
You know?
And they are very powerful.
Loyal.
And look, you don't need to tell. I don't know if I told you this on the air.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is, you know, she does the TikToks from time to time.
Sure.
So there was a popular TikTok trend about what does movies or TV shows get wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That no one else seems to notice but drives you nuts. So my wife did a TikTok about how Tony and Carmela Soprano would not name their daughter Meadow. And it blew up. It's got like 500,000 views, thousands of likes. It's gone around the internet. It's really gone viral, so much so somebody reached out to us and told us that there was a report in NJ.com. They wrote about it. It was in the newspaper.
Wow.
Yeah, made the newspaper with her name. Now, they didn't reach out to her or anything, but they wrote about, I don't know that newspapers are writing about TikToks. I didn't know that.
Yes, they are.
I guess so. I guess so. But that just shows you a show that's been off the air probably, 20 years or so?
Yeah.
And it still has the power to go viral.
Still in the news. That is amazing.
But can
that
Tony Soprano overtake Michael Jordan?
Well, we'll find out. Once again, at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damon, at ESPN NY, 98.7 FM. At the bottom of the hour, Answers with Aaron. And Aaron is probably, I sense a lot of nicknames tonight, Gordon.
A lot of nicknames. Feeling good about himself these days.
I'm sensing lots of nicknames. I think we'll hear a Big G tonight, Gordon. I think we'll
it's
hear
possible.
A Big G.
We're going to have a couple of nicknames.
I'm going to say this before we go to break. I'm watching the Purdue-UConn game, and they are allowing Edney to just, I mean, he's lowering the shoulder. he's got the elbow.
They got the points tonight, Larry. They got the points. They're trying to get this thing close. They're trying to get, you know.
Like,
they need need the late viewers. The game started at 9:45 at night. They don't want the East Coast checking out.
The East Coast has checked out.
You think?
No, UConn's still there.
The UConn people. Listen, yeah, they'll
Connecticut
hang
in there. Is there.
Right.
Connecticut is right there, baby. Connecticut is there. But I mean, they're like, here's what I tell you, Gordon. Edney, enjoy it now. Not gonna get away with that at the next level, my friend.
Yeah.
Not get away with that at the next level. Oh, interesting. We'll come back and chat a little bit more here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
Gordon, I really shouldn't do it, but I just love to get the early pulse from the early voting.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah.
I just love it. And
well, I will tell you this. The LaGreca contingent.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah, they are out in force.
Oh, man.
Now, I will say this.
Wow.
It's not the blowout that Don has been conducting in the previous rounds.
No, it
At
should
least
be close.
Not yet.
It should be close.
Yeah, it's not.
We are talking Wayne Gretzky here.
The number one overall seed.
Yes.
So I don't know. Now, we'll see. Now, maybe overnight it gets to the typical LaGreca numbers where it's just overpowered. I don't know. But
we got some close ones.
We do, yeah.
We got some close. We got some early ones. And there's some early ones that got me shaking my head.
Well, we shall see how this goes.
Oh, I love it. I love it, though.
Yeah.
I love
but,
it.
Yeah, look, it's up to the – don't complain later.
No.
Don't
no,
say, hey,
no, absolutely
this person
not.
Didn't want – you got to go vote.
That's right. Got to go vote. You know what else we got to do?
What's that?
Got to talk to Lee in Manhattan.
All right.
Lee is next on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, Lee?
Gentlemen, how we doing?
What's going on, Lee? How we doing?
Good. Listen, let me get to Larry first and these Mets.
Okay.
Larry, we've
yes,
been
sir.
Talking about this for years, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
What do I always say? I always go by the first 20 games.
Yes.
If whatever the record is after 20 games, just multiply it by 8. That's the Mets for the season. I've always said that. Mm-hmm. I don't even count the other 2 games. You win them, you win them.
Right.
Okay. It's too early in the season for you to be getting upset, man. If we can get 2 games out of this 4-game series with Atlanta, considering how we started the season, okay, call that an accomplishment.
I'll call that a win.
Yeah. So let's get that out the way.
Okay.
Now, as far as our Knicks go, okay, I was telling Chantel, this is what you guys know in college is Hell Week, okay. We need 2 of these 4 games, okay?
Yep.
You got teams out here fighting for positions. You got teams that are playing spoilers, okay? And suffice it to say, we know, if you look at some of the games we lost, we should have, and you know I said to you earlier in the season, you know, we should win anywhere between 47 and 50. But we should have passed 50. We should have at least been in 53, 54 games this year easy, you know. So we got from now till Sunday, playoffs start the following week. You know, 2-6 is anybody's right now between the 5 teams that, you know, you throw in there.
You are correct.
Okay? I'd be disappointed if the Knicks – when they go into the playoffs, if they go below, if they're a 6, I'd be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if the Knicks are not a 3 or a 4, then I'd be a little bit disappointed because we know if they go in as a 5, we've got to possibly face one of 2 teams which we don't want to face, and that would have to be either Orlando and or maybe a possible Indiana, depending on how this last week goes, because I know we can beat Cleveland.
Yeah, I'll say this, though, Lee, and thanks for the phone call. I'm confident, Gordon and Lee, about the Knicks in Cleveland, but I get concerned when you start saying we can beat them. You know what I mean? I get uneasy about that.
Right.
Because they do, you know, that was last year.
Mm-hmm.
And while they have struggled and have not played well and they've had injuries and everything and Donovan Mitchell's been in and out of the lineup, Gordon, I think you learned from last year. Plus, you don't have that Julius Randle bullying down low that you had last year in that first round that the two guys weren't ready for.
Right.
You know, so, and once again, I think Precious Achiuwa can fill in admirably if you want to do that, and you can do some things. But, you know, I get a little uneasy. Am I confident? Yes. I'm confident that they could do a decent job with Cleveland. But Gordon, I just get uneasy when you start talking about, we definitely can beat them. So Lee, I'm not ready to just say we definitely can beat them. I will just say I'm confident we could be okay with them.
Well, here's the thing: like, if you had to pick a team to play in the opening round,
I guess
Let's remove, you know, the Pacers or, you know, a team from the play-in, per se.
Miami.
Let's put it between, right, you don't want Miami, right?
No, I don't want Miami.
You don't want, do you want Orlando over Cleveland?
I probably would feel a little better about Orlando over Cleveland because, once again, this is their first playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a learning, in my experience, Gordon, there's a learning curve about being in the postseason and understanding the difference. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, they're a young team. They may not care. Like, we're just out here. Nobody expects us to win, so we just go out here and just play. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a possibility too. But I just, Donovan Mitchell, Gordon, he didn't do it last year. He's biting at the chance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no question.
To have another opportunity because he still wants to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's gonna try to, you know, this is what you can have. I spent a whole off season in New York. Y'all didn't take me.
Mm-hmm.
So now let me show you what I can do. Now this year I'm going to show you something. So we'll see. But I'm just uneasy with. I'm just uncomfortable. We could definitely be clear. Be careful what you ask for, Gordon. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Be careful what you ask for. Jose's in Brooklyn. What's up, Jose?
Good afternoon, Larry. Shout out to the company and hello, Gordon. I was just coming in and checking in. Was very pleased with the Knicks game yesterday because, you know, it was a win against the Bucks, and we definitely needed that win for standing purposes. And kind of like what Lee mentioned, you know, if we could just pretty much win these next few games, it could pretty much do a lot of, you know, the Knicks wonders, because we kind of still need to stay in that, you know, top six area for that way we can get that week off, because I think we're exhausted, and you can tell from how we've started games and how we've kind of fallen behind early and tried to fight back and everything. So it is something that, you know, it is concerning, no matter which team, I think, because, like, I look at even a team like Orlando, and I just look at their size and how much size kind of gives the Knicks a trouble. Even a team like, you know, even people make fun of me when I say, like, the Pacers, I don't, you know, feel confident against, because the last thing I want is to be in a situation where it's superstar versus superstar and everybody kind of already, you know, concedes that Halliburton is, you know, a very young, talented player. So, and he can definitely make a difference in a series. So it is a very, you know, tough road no matter which matchup that they get. But I still am confident in certain teams, but it depends on, like you said, you know, how the situations, you know, bear out. And hopefully the Knicks can be able to do something. And I just wanted to, you know, also bring up a point, you know, it sucks that we had to go through all these injuries, especially in New York with all these sports and everything. But I also remember the adage of, you know, when you trade younger and healthier for, you know, more talented but still has a possible, you know, injury possibility, sometimes that injury ends up being more likely than not. And that's kind of where, you know, it kind of sucked. You know, we took the chance and it didn't work out. But now we just got to hope that, you know, hopefully since the Knicks are in a way better future than, you know, my New York Jets, or, you know, how the Yankees fell apart when Aaron Judge went down when he got collided into the wall. The New York Knicks have a bit of a better roster construction. And, you know, and thank God, you know, Jalen Brunson is still with us and, you know, still able to make a difference. So have a good one, guys.
All right, Jose, thanks for the phone call. Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that we were all kind of preparing ourselves for not having Randall come playoff time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not really that big of a shock. It's disappointing for some of us. For some of us, not so much. But nobody's going to feel sorry for the Knicks.
No.
That's the deal. You knew it now going in, so do what you got to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Make the adjustment. Do what needs to be done. That's what you have to do. It's very simple. When we return, we'll take more of your phone calls. Plus, take you around the major leagues. Got a little Answers with Aaron tonight. Next on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
It's ESPN New York tonight here on 98.7 ESPN. Before we take you around the ballpark with the Yankees and the Mets, congratulations to UConn, Gordon. They are back-to-back champions as they defeat Purdue. So congrats to Danny Hurley and the crew. Their sixth championship on the men's side. They got ways to go to catch up with Gino.
Well, the question going into the NCAA tournament this year was, can anybody beat UConn? And now we have the answer. No.
No.
And nobody really even came really all that close.
They did not. They did not. All right, let's go around the ballpark for the Mets and Yankees. We begin at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx, where the Yankees continue to roll. Three-run home runs for Volpe. Three-run home runs for, you know, the big fella, Juan Soto. It was just a nice, nice, nice night. But, Gordon, I'm going to start with pitching. And Nasty Nestor got into the eighth inning today. And he talked about the success was the off-speed pitch.
These guys have big swings, so felt like there was a couple guys in there that I was able to throw a changeup to, and I got into counts where I was able to throw it, and I executed really well. I think that was the biggest thing today. Executing the changeup down and away was pinpoint, so it was good.
And, of course, he was very thankful that he got a little offense from Juan Soto.
Yeah, it's impressive what he does. He's so young. It looks like he's been in the league for a long time already, which he has, but, you know, it looks like he's been 10 or 12 years now. He just goes about his business like a true professional. I see him here every day and works hard, wants to get better every single day, and then he shows it out on the field. He goes out there and performs, has really good at-bats on the plate and really good right fielder too, so he's just a complete package.
Pitching against his hometown team for the first time, Gordon allowed two hits, struck out six, walked none over eight innings, his longest outing since May 2022 and longest by a Yankee starter this year.
Well, the Yankees have the best record in baseball and the Marlins have the worst record in baseball.
Yeah.
So things carried out that way tonight.
No question about it. Marlins 1-10. Yikes.
1-10. It's April 8th.
And it's over.
And it's over.
It's over.
Not that anybody, but like the A's are actively trying to destroy everything that they possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 3-7.
I know. And even they won more games.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, the Marlins lost, what, about four pitchers?
They had a lot of injuries.
Including their ace.
Yeah.
But you know, no sympathy from the Yankees, right?
No.
It was the first home run at the stadium for Juan Soto. Did you love the fan reaction, Juan?
It's great to see it out there. Just amazing how the crowd react. It was really cool. They really surprised me with that one.
All right, and obviously, Gordon, First of many, right?
I will say this, and it is a long way to go, and it'll ultimately come down to the dollars. It doesn't feel like Juan Soto is going to be on another team anytime soon. Seems like he has fit in perfectly as a New York Yankee.
He looks very comfortable, Gordon. Looks very comfortable.
Yep. So any Met fan who was hoping, well, he's just going to be in the Bronx for 1 year, and then Steve Cohen's going to open up the wallet and bring him to Queens? Not so fast.
Money still talks, though.
It does. Oh, absolutely. It does all the talk.
So, you know, we'll see. He looks. Listen, hope he has a great year.
Yes. You and me both.
Because he'll cost more money.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for my favorite part of Talking Yankees. When we do the post-game wrap-up, it's time for...
Answers with Aaron.
All right, Gordon Damer, we got two for you tonight.
All right.
Aaron Boone was asked after the game, what are your takeaways from the great start of the season? What are your takeaways?
Takeaways from the great start to the season. Well, I would think that he's not surprised by it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that he's felt like this is going to be the team that last year was an aberration. And he noticed... right away this year, that there was a different sense around this group than the group last year. And he's not surprised that this is the type of start that they have gotten off to so far.
Aaron Boone, what are your takeaways from the great start to this season?
I would say that the contributions we've got from the entire roster. I feel like we've been a solid offense night in, night out. That said, you know, we don't have everyone going off right now at the plate necessarily. I feel like we've been solid on defense and made really important defensive plays and winning moments. We've done a pretty good job on the bases. Our starters, you know, prior to tonight, we haven't got a ton of length necessarily yet. But by and large, they've done a really good job of giving us a chance to win every night. And then different guys have been able to step up, too, in the bullpen. So it's been a little bit of everyone that's allowed us to get off to this start. But I'll echo what you said. It's 11 games in. We've got a long way to go.
All right, that was a swing and a miss. That was a swing and a miss by me. I apologize.
That's all right. Here's another one.
Okay.
And this is kind of where you were.
Okay.
Aaron Boone was asked, does the start have anything to do with how the team finished last year?
Well, I mean, I would say the same thing. You know, this group, I knew this group right away was going to click. I knew that this was a different group this year than last year. Last year was an aberration. This year, the guys have a different focus, a different energy, a different intensity. So that's what I'll say for that one.
Aaron Boone, does the start have anything to do with how the team finished last year?
I think there's an element of that. You know, I think it sharpened everyone's focus in the winter and certainly into spring training and a seriousness with how we got ready. You know, a lot of team pride and individual pride of wanting to do all we can to not have last year happen and knowing we need to do all we can to make sure this is a success.
I wouldn't say it's a home run, but I feel like it's a solid,
yes,
solid shot in the gap.
Absolutely. You got on base. That's the bottom
line. I got
on
base. Absolutely.
All right. And finally, before we leave the Yankees, Aaron Boone, what did you think about what Nasty Nestor was able to do this evening?
That was awesome. I mean, I'll say it now, we needed it, you know. You know, those are those big games, and, you know, now two more into the off day, so a little bit of a reset there. And that was a big outing.
It was a big outing, Gordon, and obviously the longest one you've had this year. And you know what? Takes a lot of pressure off, I think, Mr. Rodon, who's pitching tomorrow, yes?
Yeah, because you don't know. I mean, it feels like a little bit of a crapshoot. Now, he was good last time out.
Mm-hmm.
But with him and the injury concerns, it could always pop up. So we'll just kind of hope to continue it tomorrow. It's, again, it is the Marlins, so if there's an easy landing spot, you would think that this would be it.
You would think so. Let's head down to Atlanta. That has always been a house of horrors for the Mets, but not tonight. Even though they got down early, they were able to squeeze an 8-7 win over Atlanta. Carlos Mendoza, what a team win, right?
What a team win, you know. For us to be able to come back after getting down early in the game 4-0, you know, got back in the game. Obviously, Nemo with a huge game, but I think from top to bottom, contribution from a lot of people, you know. Offensively, obviously, Nemo, Stewart with a 2-run homer for his first hit of the year. coming through, you know, in a huge situation. Bullpen, you know, Reed Garrett, you know, keeping us in the game, giving us huge innings out of the pen. Diekman, Drew Smith, and then obviously Lopia at the end. Taylor making that play. Like, again, overall, a very good team win.
Yeah, it was. It was a great team win, Gordon. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when the team is struggling the way the Mets have, going on the road seems to be the best thing for them. They did well Cincinnati, and now starting out against Atlanta, you know, you go. Mets fans look at Atlanta, it's like, oh, no, here we go again. But tonight, you're going to win.
Absolutely. And after it feeling like a lost cause a week ago, to get off the mat in Atlanta, House of Horrors, as you said, down 4-0, and come back and win that game where there were some moments where in years past you would have blown it, that's important. Especially early on in the season, to kind of – there has to be a little bit of confidence shaken when you get off to – you're not scoring runs, it's 0-5. Even pros got to feel a little bit of pressure in that moment. So good win for them tonight.
Carlos Mendoza, talk about DJ Stewart's go-ahead home run.
It meant a lot, you know. He's one of those where he's grinding, you know. He's working, he's, you know, and he's not getting results, but he's still giving us very good at-bats, you know, with walks and things like that, and controlling the strike zone. And for him to put a good swing and give us the lead there was important for him, for all of us. So that was good to see.
I mean, for you to and Gordon, they needed every run.
Yeah, every bit of it, right?
Every single run they needed. They couldn't spare any of them.
No, until the final out, it felt like it could go wrong at any moment.
Absolutely. Now, Brandon Nimmo tied the game earlier with a big home run, but afterwards, he wanted to talk defense with his teammate Tyrone Taylor's big catch.
I knew it was going to be close. I knew he didn't quite, like, clip it, you know, the way that he sometimes does. But, you know, saw Ty going back on it and looked like he had a good beat on it. And then, obviously, the jump up and the catch was awesome. So, really happy for him. That was a huge moment. And, you know, thought that really helped us, obviously, helped us out. But, you know, a big moment in the game where things can turn two different ways.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And that's one of the things, Gordon, that has been kind of uneasy and inconsistent with the Mets so far. It's been their defense. It had a double steal that a run scored in Cincinnati. Came home, catch it through the second base. You know, they've not been crisp. They've not played crisp baseball, pitching, offense, or defense, but that was a big catch for Tyrone Taylor tonight.
And it wasn't just Ozuna that thought it was the home run. The cameraman definitely thought that guy was doing some Giancarlo Stanton home runs in the past, where you thought, oh, that's going to be 25 rows deep, and somebody's catching it at the warning track. That was a very acrobatic catch, though.
Last but not least, Gordon Denver, we got to hear from DJ Stewart. He's the guy that hit the go-ahead home run, the winning hit for the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't really react, just because, like, I mean, I've been waiting all season for that hit. For it to be a home run in that situation, help the team, it felt great. But I don't come up in that situation if Rhett's not on base. We don't fight the entire game. Nimmo, I mean, he honestly led us offensively. Our guys coming in the bullpen, eating up innings for us, Reed, it was special.
No question about it. Let's see if the Mets can put another win together against Atlanta tomorrow night. And that's our trip to the ballpark. When we return, we'll wrap up this edition with your phone calls next on 98.7 ESPN.